Good afternoon and welcome to the latest edition of Lambda Weekly. I am Laurent Landis here with the late Patty Fink, who is very much on time today.
I slid in on two wheels.
And Patty time, it was pretty much on time. David Taffet is not here today. He should be on the road. He was at Houston Pride last night.
I'm saying that he's in the wilderness somewhere between Houston and Dallas.
Yes, yes. He did post some pictures. As usual, it looks like they had a fabulous turnout, over 400,000.
450,000.
Wow. Well, we had a little news this week. Just a little.
A little bit.
Yeah. So it's been a really, really exciting weekend. And here to talk about it with us is Omar Narvaez, and we're happy to have him here. Omar is from Lambda Legal, very well-known community legal group that everybody in the LGBT community knows about. So we'll talk about that also. So what happened this weekend, Patty?
Well, actually, it started earlier in the week.
It did.
I think the Obama administration had two really fine days, Thursday and Friday. And
they
then
did.
Simultaneously, in another, in the same reality, were, of course, some very mournful times in Charleston. And I thought
yes.
the president did an amazing job navigating all of that.
He did.
With class
did.
He just really did a good job. So Thursday, the fair housing case out of Dallas.
Yes, out of Dallas.
It can proceed now because the Supreme Court ruled in favor of an issue that they can use as an assertion at trial. So it still has to go to trial. It's all about, can we say that, you know, there may not be an intent to discriminate, but is that disparate impact any, you know, causing discrimination? So they're allowed to do that. And then, of course, the ACA,
yes.
the Obamacare.
Affordable Care Act.
Yes, exactly. The subsidies live on.
Yes, yes.
So effectively, I guess, ceasing any more serious legal challenges to it.
Yeah, because that was the second one.
And then the third one.
And then the third one.
Which came as I predicted.
Yes, yes.
On June 26th.
The trifecta.
The Obergefell v. Hodges case, which was a win-win for us. The
mm-hmm.
court asked two questions of the plaintiffs who had been consolidated into one case, with the lead plaintiff in the case titled Obergefell v. Hodges, but it was really four states in the Sixth Circuit, and to ask two questions. Basically, was the 14th Amendment requires states to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples? And number two, does the 14th Amendment require states to recognize the marriage licenses issued to same-sex couples in other jurisdictions, in other
right.
states? And so we got a yes and a yes.
Yes. Yes.
It's a win.
Right,
it's a win-win.
Right. It was a win-win. And, you know, one of the fears was that it would be a win. I think just about even those who were opposed same-sex marriage still said they were probably going to win, but they thought it'd be very narrow grounds, and it really wasn't. It was as broad as we could have hoped for.
Well, I think we could have hoped for broader.
Well, yeah, they could have went, you know, if he went all out and talked about maybe employment and, you know, housing and those issues, but as far as the marriage, I mean, I don't think it could have gotten any broader.
What do you think, Omar?
Yeah, so what do you think, Omar?
I think that it was a fantastic day. We were thrilled at Lambda Legal with the ruling. It was we have five regional offices across the nation, so with our headquarters being in New York, and just each of the offices was sent pictures of the celebrations that were happening in the offices. Being one of the lead organizations on the case, it was even more meaningful in our office because one of our local staff attorneys, Paul Castillo, was one of the attorneys on the Obergefell team at the Supreme Court out of Ohio. So we were, you know, it was even more special to us. So it was kind of funny that you said the housing case came out of Dallas. Well, we happened to have the attorney, one of the attorneys was out of Dallas as well. So it was a fantastic ruling. It couldn't have been more well written than by Justice Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's what he expected his legacy to be, the LGBT
trifecta.
Right.
Trifecta, but
he wrote
Lawrence
on
right.
June 26th. He wrote Windsor on June 26th, and now Obergefell
right.
on June 26th.
Yeah, it was, and it, I think I remember in 03, that was also a Lambda legal case, the Lawrence v. Texas case. And
out of Texas.
Out of Texas.
Out of Texas.
It was out of Houston.
So basically, Lambda legal is our Kevin Bacon.
Yes. Indeed. The 6 degrees of Lambda
yes,
legal.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And so I remember that ruling, and it was exciting. I mean, it was a huge deal in 03, but I don't think the community really knew or understood what striking down sodomy laws across the country meant. But with this one, I know that I, along with Patty and quite a few many other amazing advocates across our county, when we were planning Friday night's hopefully celebration, which definitely turned into one, we were hoping for 500 people to show up, and there were over 5,000 people
yes.
that showed up here
yeah.
in Dallas, and some of our first people to get married here in Dallas County made the covers of the New York Times, the Dallas Morning News, many publications across the nation.
Reddit.
Yes.
A picture that Patty posted, actually.
Yes, it's still growing. It's hundreds and hundreds of likes.
And it's just really amazing to see people that I actually know and that I have personal relationships being able to get married and, having that ability. And it just was such a different day. It was such a celebratory day. And then the next morning when I woke up, it was kind of like I was waiting for, the news to be like, psych, we're just kidding. Well, wanted to see what y'all would do.
Well, actually, everybody share. Where were you when the news came out?
I was, I work from home, and mm-hmm. I was actually on my computer using a Microsoft product that didn't work. At that moment, I couldn't get my audio to work, so I couldn't tell them, it's coming down. I had another window open with SCOTUS Blog's live blog, and what really amazed me was it said the first thing that came across was two boxes. And if you've been following cases, that the boxes sort of indicate, the number of boxes in the press room sort of indicate how many opinions are coming. And mm-hmm. we know that there were five that needed to come.
Right.
And so two boxes. And then the next thing was, because the other thing that we do is, of course, waiting for Lyle, because he's the press guy inside for SCOTUS Blog.
Yeah, they have a hashtag.
Yeah, waiting for Lyle. So it was two boxes, and then the next word was marriage. And I was just, my heart just started racing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't believe it, because, then we saw that was, overturned the Sixth Circuit, 5-4, Kennedy. I was like, that's all I need to know. And
right,
I just
right.
had to type. I have no audio. I can't tell you
right,
this.
Right.
I'm out of here,
What about you, Omar?
I was in the car waiting to go. It was a decision on getting on a trip that might happen
mm-hmm.
or going to the office. I didn't know what I was doing because the trip was planned. And so it was like, do I go ahead and pay for parking? Because the flight was at 10 a.m.
Oh, wow.
So I knew I had an hour. So I was like, no, we'll just sit here in the cell phone waiting area.
Oh, wow.
At the phone, and if we have a victory, cancel the flight, turn around, get back to the office. And if we have a loss, then we're getting on the plane. And
Or no decision.
Or if there was no decision,
yeah.
then
mm-hmm.
definitely. But at the time, we didn't even know we were getting a decision. So
right.
it was 9.
It could possibly come tomorrow.
Right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It could have been tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the team that was thinking it would be on Monday because it was the last day, and that's
right.
been the tradition is that the last day for the other two. But I was thrilled that it was Friday. I think it made it an even bigger deal. And then also the Pride celebrations that are going around the country right now, yesterday and today. I know New York City Pride, they were marching down the street. And
they were.
Our Lambda legal contingent. I don't think I've ever seen them happier, just what I've seen, from pictures and little videos that have been sent to me. And, it's kind of like, I wish I was there,
right,
I wish I was with them. But it's really exciting because I'm sure that they're going to have a record turnout like Houston did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a half a million
people.
Yeah,
Houston,
for a night parade.
Yeah, for a night parade. And and the first time that they moved from their from being in the gayborhood to
right.
downtown.
It's usually in Montrose.
Correct.
And it's downtown Houston. So,
right.
yeah.
So that was a really big deal. So now, of course, the calls are, when is Dallas moving? Now it's time to move it back.
I think it is time to move it back. Because, let's be honest, September, it's not that much cooler.
Well, not
in the last recent years, is it?
It hasn't been.
Well, there's a historical reason for September, but I think that people just nobody really knows anymore.
Oh, yeah, we know, but what, right. Share.
But, no, I mean the vast community.
Oh, the vast community, yeah.
I don't think knows anymore. So it's like, well, let's move it back.
Right.
So I'm sure those talks will probably get started with some advocates with the Tavern Guild. It's just a matter of, do we want to compete with Houston or move it the weekend
before? That's true.
You know, because San Antonio is also next weekend, and I'm sure we don't want to do it the 4th of July weekend.
Right.
Right, absolutely.
But let me tell you, it was exciting being at the church, marching down the street.
Oh, it was. It was. For those of you who know, my husband is as bashful as they come. But I say, you know, look, when the decision comes out, this is what's happening, I'm going to march, you're more than welcome to come. He goes, now that I wouldn't miss.
Okay.
So,
well, where were you when you heard?
I was at work, working at a law firm, and we don't have cases every day, but we had a case that day, and I'm like, so people are literally coming in the door, and I'm having to show clients what room they're going to be in, and so I'm at my computer and trying to work with people also, and I was going not to the blog. Every day I had been going to SCOTUS.org, and it would tell, like, at 9:03, it would put up what opinions came out that day, but it didn't tell how they went. You had to go read it.
Right.
So I'm refreshing, and they popped up, like, at 9:04, and I'm like, okay, and, you know, and so finally I got an alert from somebody on Facebook and said, we won. And I was like, oh, my God, we won. So, but
I want to read on your pages.
Yeah, but I couldn't share my elation right there in the middle of the office. Maybe about 15 minutes later, I had to run out. And so then I called Danny. And so that's how I found out. But wow. But you're right, Omar. The march was, it was just awesome. Awesome. You know, the speeches at the church beforehand.
And that place was packed.
Standing room only. So, yeah, it was just, it couldn't have gone better. And, you know, the walk was a little, 2 miles?
Yeah, I would say it was right around 2 miles. Because I know we debated, was that too far? You know, but
yeah, we got our exercise for the day.
If we're going to win, we need to be in the streets.
Exactly.
Take it over.
Exactly. And it started raining, but it rained right at the perfect time.
It did.
Right at the end, once everybody had finally gathered around.
Right.
So, but you know, even when it first started coming down, people still stayed out there.
Absolutely.
So it was just a great, great day, one that I'll never forget.
And I wanted to say, you know, thank you to our Dallas's finest, our police department. They did a fantastic job keeping traffic stopped.
They did.
And making sure that we were all safe while we were marching down the street. You know, there's a lot of turmoil right now with police departments across the country, but I think that our police department has done a fine job making sure we don't have those issues or not as many of those issues. So I think hats off to our Dallas Police Department and especially our LGBT liaison, Officer Laura Martin.
Yes.
She's, I'd been corresponding with her by text pretty much all week and had an agreement that I would let her know just as soon as something came because she needed to deal with things internally.
Right.
And so Thursday came and we didn't get an opinion, you know. So she was like, you know, this is really going to happen. And she said, you know, everybody's going to walk on the sidewalk, but that's okay if it's like 50 people, whatever. It's 500, you know. And I said, I bet it's going to be pretty big if we get a win.
Yeah.
And I think it's coming tomorrow. And sure enough, I was on the phone with her right up until 9 o'clock. And then she hung up and I got on trying to get on my call. And by the way, my manager and my team were just so great. You know, I typed out, you know, I'm going to go. This is the result of the case. And my manager's just like, sweet, you know, on the chat. And so I'm like, bye. And then I got calls and calls from people. But I knew Laura was prepared because she was going in to meet with all the command staff. And I knew that it would be, you know, she does such a great job.
Right.
She really does a great job. And so to navigate that many people down Cedar Springs,
That was a long, 2 miles.
It was long.
Of all the streets being closed down on the side roads for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't clumped together.
We were.
We took over the street.
Totally. I was tickled the entire time we were walking because of so many onlookers.
Yes.
Onlookers, kids, and people driving on the street on the opposite lane, honking their horns and waving their flags and just showing just a lot of support. And it was just awesome. It was awesome. But I also want to give a big thank you on air to Todd Whitley, who put this together.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Todd Whitley is a hero.
You did an amazing job. So,
really
amazing job.
It was a christening with fire.
Yes. Definitely.
And it was all handled very well with complete grace to make sure that all parties that were involved got some type of a shout out and got to have their moment. And the wedding at the church was, and you know, I had to tell Shannon Bailey, a good friend of mine, I said, I didn't realize till it was happening. I told him afterwards, I said, I just have to let you know, one, congratulations, and I'm so happy for you guys. I said, but number two, that was the first time I'd ever witnessed a gay wedding, or two same-sex people actually, you know, get married.
Right. Really?
Yeah, so it was my very first one.
And, wow.
You know, yeah, for all the work but I you know do, what? It's like nobody ever invites me to the wedding. You know?
Right. I'm kind of right there with you. It was my first, technically, besides my own.
Yeah.
I've witnessed a civil union. I flew to Vermont when civil unions first came out. But I've never seen another a gay couple get married.
Yeah.
So that was my first time also.
Yeah,
I feel like an old veteran. Wow.
Yeah, and I talked to a lot of people, and they all said the same. You know, a lot were saying the same thing. That was the first time I'd ever witnessed one. I said, "Well, pretty exciting that you had 2,000 people at your wedding."
Exactly, absolutely. And you know, I mean, we'll talk more about this when we come back from the break. But let's talk about how many weddings actually took place in Dallas County. But also, before we go to break, I want to say thank you to Joy for our fundraiser.
Our incredible fundraiser.
Incredible fundraiser Thursday night at the Tap House. It went really well. We had a lot of fun, and we brought some additional funds to KNOW.
And the crowd was great, but the performers were blow you away.
They were really
really good. We raised a lot of money. And
we did.
Thank you all who came, and certainly thank you all of the performers, and a big, big shout out of thanks and gratitude to Joy.
Absolutely.
Joy did a great, great job.
Great job. And,
thank you.
And, you know, this is a new partnership we have. He'll love to do it again, so we're going to join you and take you up on that. But we're going to go to break right now. We'll be right back, talk more marriage equality and love here on Lambda Weekly.
Hi, this is Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3. KNON-FM.
Welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Laurent Landis here with the late Patty Fink, and our guest today is Omar Narvaez. We're talking about our big win on Friday and the celebrations that have come since then and the weddings that have come since then, and I'm sure there's going to be many more. Now, in Dallas County alone, there's been 170 at least on Friday, there were 170 marriage licenses issued.
But, you know, someone in the staff who told a couple who got married late, and they left that office at 7:30 that evening, and there were still marriages going on.
Yeah. Wow, so I'm sure it's higher.
Right. It was 650 to 700.
Right.
Wow.
I talked to a judge, Judge Dominique Collins, and we were texting, and she thought that I was still out in the line watching people get married. And I thought she meant, you know, because I was at the march. So when she asked if there were a lot of people in line, I was thinking march. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's thousands. And I didn't get a response back. And then later she said, well, we're going to stay here. You know, my court's staying open all night. I'm not going to leave until.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's incredible.
It is incredible.
And so about 9:30, she texted me, that I think we were at dinner by then, or getting close to getting to dinner, that she had finally wrapped up she had just done the last wedding in Dallas
at what
County.
Time?
9:30 p.m.
Wow.
Well, they really did extend their hours.
She worked. So that was for anybody who had a license. So just because you got the license by 6:30 p.m. when the office closed didn't mean, you know, you could still go get married if a judge would do
exactly,
it for you. Or,
exactly.
You know, a person of faith, a clergy member.
As long as you had the waiver.
As long as you had the waiver, right.
Yeah.
And so thanks to, you know, we had two amazing things, well, three really. Judge Dominique Collins did the last wedding on that day, but Judge Denise Garcia conducted the first wedding, same-sex wedding in the afternoon there. And
it was right about noon.
Right about noon. And what's really cool that a lot of people don't know is that Patty Fink's partner, Aaron Moore, actually got to witness. So she's on the very first, you know, she's the very witness first. Of the very first marriage license ever issued in the county. So
oh, that's awesome.
Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
And Reverend Eric Folkerth, who was just a godsend, honestly, not to be funny, he's Reverend over at North Haven United Methodist Church. I thought it came really full circle there with Jack and George,
yes.
Because the late Reverend Bill McElvaney had basically defied the United Methodist Church.
Yep.
He had founded North Haven United Methodist Church, and performed a marriage of Jack and George, mm-hmm. and before he passed away. And so Eric Folkerth is the senior pastor now at North Haven United Methodist, and so he was present as one
oh,
of
cool.
two witnesses, and Aaron was present as the second one, and both signed the marriage certificate.
It's really amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, especially for Jack and George. Come on, 55 years.
Yeah.
We have a question from a caller. Was Jack and George the first, number one, number two, to get a marriage license? From my understanding, they weren't the first in line, but
no,
they
right.
let the couples that were before them let them cut,
that is
which
right.
is very gracious of
They're
them.
They're in their 80s and not able to move
exactly.
around really well, you know.
Exactly.
Like they used to, and they what the procedure was that day was they had to go to the records building to the second mm-hmm. floor and get the marriage certificate, which really was kind of a bottleneck. It was really the bottleneck during the day because there was a lot of paperwork that had to be done and such. And then they had to, once they got it, they had to go past Old Red and mm-hmm. into the George Allen
yes,
Courts building,
right.
up the stairs to one of the courtrooms where the judges were, and have that part took like 7 minutes.
then
they got to come back and stand in line again mm-hmm. in order to turn in the completed marriage certificate and get it filed, which was what makes it actually official,
mm-hmm.
And then be able to leave with their certificate. So the clerk's office part, they were doing the best they could, and boy, they were happy.
Mm-hmm.
And helpful and so gracious, but that was where the bottleneck was. So, but there was no way Jack and George were going to be able to get over there.
No.
And Judge Tanya Parker was slated to do it, but it apparently wasn't over in the building when Jack and George did. But we did a great thing in her court with
yes.
all the judges in their robes and the jury box, and she did a beautiful ceremony. I didn't even know these women who got married as her first marriage. And did you know Judge Tanya Parker had refused to do marriages
yes,
for anybody?
She did. For anybody.
Anybody.
Until
even,
it became legal nationwide.
Members, even right. her own personal family members.
Yes.
Until she could do, so
right.
we could all marry. And
yes.
so it was a really special moment for
yes.
her to be conducting that first one. And I bawled. I didn't even know these women, but it was such a great moment.
I thought it was beautiful, too, that we had 28 district judges ready to sign waivers and marry people, and and that's Dallas County. That just shows how much work has been done in our county.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that they get it and they understand,
right.
and the phone calls that day, I think a lot of those ally phone calls are what made me cry more.
Right.
And on Facebook too, I was posting pictures throughout the day. I spent the whole day there. And I would look at some of these and just like scroll the bazillion likes, and I was just it just made me cry even more when I think like half these people are not even LGBT.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
That are liking this stuff, and I'm like, wow, our allies were such a big part of this.
And to see the I don't know what did you call it, but the rainbow that Facebook has created that you can put over your homepage, and to see so many non-gay people do that to their pages, and it's some of these people I didn't even know were really allies or felt that way, and it was really nice to see.
Oh, it's so heartwarming
it really was.
Let me tell you
that.
Yeah, Friday and what's been going on Facebook has completely made up for me the Chick-fil-A thing, because that was a horrible day in my life when I saw friends and family and people all proud to have their Chick-fil-A bag on that I don't know what you call it, the unboycott day, and so yesterday 100% made up for it. And I think we've done much better educating since then. And it really, I think, also woke up the community. You mm-hmm. know, sometimes it's like we have to have a little setback so we can fight harder. But, we're not done fighting.
We're not done fighting.
I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Of course, there's just going to be some backlash. Mm-hmm. We talked about, how welcoming Dallas County has been, but not every county in Texas has been.
Right.
As far as I know, Denton County still is not
Correct.
Issuing
Collin
licenses.
County is not.
Collin County is not. I think all the major big county metropolitan areas are, but I'm not even for sure about Houston.
Houston is now. They didn't start until 3 p.m.
Right,
on Friday.
But they did start.
They did start at 3 p.m.
Okay.
on Friday.
There were six counties in Texas that complied immediately.
Okay.
And they were ready, and they went, and they started going. And Dallas was one of them. Tarrant County actually beat us. They started issuing it right before us.
Right.
We weren't fast enough for that. But then by the end of the day, there were 21.
21 counties?
21 counties who had complied. But there are 254 counties.
We have a lot of counties in Texas.
In the state of Texas. So 21, only 21.
Yeah, we're not even at 10% yet.
Out of 254 counties complied with the ruling by the United States Supreme Court. And the rest of them ham-hawed and flat out said no. Some offices were closed.
Right.
Some offices were handing out marriage licenses to straight people, but not you, not the gay people.
And some were using the excuse that because the vital statistics are the ones who actually make those applications, and because they haven't had time, which I'm surprised they haven't had time, they knew this was coming, to change it, to make it gender neutral. And so they were using it as an excuse to not issue the licenses.
Right.
I know in Denton, this was a really big one that kind of went viral on Facebook. I forgot the woman's name. But basically, she had closed their clerk's office and put up a sign that says that she took a vow to uphold Texas law and United States law. And now there's a conflict between the two.
It's called the Supremacy Clause.
And I was like, there really isn't a conflict anymore because Texas's law is really void and unenforceable. Where's the conflict?
Right. Because it's very early in the Constitution, too.
Exactly.
It's like whenever there's a conflict, the U.S. Constitution prevails. You know?
And I'm thinking, okay, did any of these people take a poli-sci class in high school? I mean, this is something you learn in high school.
This is an elected official. This is somebody who is elected
by the
people. Yes.
It is scary. But then again, you know, hey, our own governor is not even complying.
Right.
Except our own attorney general. He did say in this headline of his press release that, you know, like following the stupid ruling by the Supreme Court, that, you know, that's what they're going to, Texas will follow that stupid ruling. But, you know, he spent the whole rest of his statement saying how awful this is and how we shouldn't be following it.
And, you know, next door, Texas isn't the only one, unfortunately. Next door in Louisiana, Governor Bobby Jindal, now presidential candidate, says that they won't start complying until they hear a ruling from a lower court, which is the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, in which, you know, that case actually comes out of Texas also, part of it. So I said, okay, that shouldn't even matter. You know, you're going to listen to a lower court, but not the Supreme Court.
Well, ours is actually done now in Texas because Judge Garcia lifted his stay immediately.
He did lift his stay. You're absolutely right. It's done.
Louisiana, and Lambda Legal does have the appeal that's at the Fifth Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And by 10 a.m., our senior staff attorney, Ken Upton, he had already filed his petition to go ahead and lift and end it,
to close it.
So Fifth Circuit has it. We got to wait on that one. That would be for Louisiana. So, but I do want to say, you know, to David Taffet, who's not here, and I'm sure he's listening, he kept saying that Texas would be last. And technically, we're not anymore because Louisiana and Mississippi are still sitting out there completely on hold. So.
But we only have 21.
We're 21,
counties.
But we're not last because we're married people.
We're not last. Yeah. You're absolutely right, Omar. You're absolutely right.
That's true.
You know, I'm not a historian, but, you know, look, the beginning of this country's history, the Supreme Court will issue opinions that a lot of people are not going to like.
Right.
That's just part of our democracy. Okay, but how lawful is it for elected officials to just ignore it?
Defy it. Proudly defy it.
I mean, it's like, okay, how does that work? Can they really do that? And how long can they do it?
It's just amazing. Well, they can't. They have no authority to do so.
None whatsoever.
You know, and that's it. And I know Judge Ken Wohlberg here in Dallas County.
Oh, I loved what he said.
Chomping at the bit.
He's an amazing judge.
He really is.
An amazing ally.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And, you know, to that, we should cover before we take our next break, we need to cover some things that happened on Friday that I thought were so heartwarming. And you probably had moments like this during the day, too. But being down there, there were so many couples. I sat out in the shade because it was so hot out behind Eldred as couples were coming from the records building over to the courts building. And then they'd come back and, you know, so this back and forth. And there were tourists in Dallas who were standing around downtown. They had literature from the JFK Museum and, mm-hmm. you know, from different places. Just absolutely going bananas, cheering for these couples as they would cross
awesome.
Through Old Red and come back over. Did you just get married? Yes, dear. You know, and I talked to several tourists who were just happened to be here this time. Mm-hmm. And a couple from Louisiana with a teen daughter, and she said, I want my daughter to see this. Is this what's really happening? Are these the couples getting married? I said, yes. They're coming from there over here, and they have to take it back to get it filed. Right. So all these couples walking both directions. And she said, she told her daughter, I want you to see this and never, ever forget it. You need to see this. That's and there beautiful. Were two straight women who brought their kids out of camp. They're little kids who sported signs and had all kinds of flowers. And they stood in the courtroom when we did the big ceremony where Judge Tanya Parker did the first ceremony over there. And they handed out flowers to all the couples.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I talked to them outside the courtroom and took some photos of them. But they said, it's important. We took them out when President Obama was inaugurated. We took them out of school. Mm-hmm. So that they could witness that. We took them out of school the second time he was inaugurated. You know, these are life events that they need to know. And they need to remember and have it in their their lives, you know.
Right.
And I'm sure those kids will always remember. But that just made me bawl. Aaron and I were just bawling.
There was a lot of bawling.
There was.
On
yeah.
There
was.
For many, that's a beautiful story. And it's one you'll always remember. And
absolutely.
You know, for me, it's, my partner getting out of work early and coming over to the Lambda Legal office to, you know, come give me a hug and a kiss. And, you know, it was hard because I didn't really, it was still sinking in, but it was like, now I'm getting ready for this huge rally that we're having. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it was a lot faster than I think he really was expecting everything to happen. And then I was like, oh, it's exciting. I'm happy. And it's like, okay, now I need you to do this, this, and this. Get to work. You know, you're right, a volunteer
right.
now.
Right.
And then, you know, so, you know, but it's amazing because, like, if we choose to,
right.
You know, we can get married. We've been together, you know, it'll be 20 years in December.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Yeah, so everybody's jumping the gun and already telling us we need to get married. And he kind of made a mention on Facebook. And I was like, no, I'm not getting proposed to via Facebook. I want a proper proposal.
With some genuflection.
Yeah, and you need to call my mom and ask her for my hand.
I'm right there with you, Omar.
I'm an old school Latino. So
yeah, I could not deal with a Facebook proposal.
No. So that was kind of the joke. I would never do that. And he wouldn't.
Right. But you know, you hit on an important point.
Yeah.
If you chose to.
Right.
You don't have to. Not everybody has to get married. We've never... Part of our goal is not to make every push gay marriage on every gay couple.
Right.
If we just want the freedom, if we want to do it.
Exactly.
We have the option now.
We have the option.
Because we have that right under the United
exactly.
States Constitution. And that was one of the things I noticed in judges going through the vows with couples in their courtrooms, was they say, by the power vested in me by the United States, by the Constitution of the United States.
Yes, yes.
I now pronounce you spouses for life.
Right, yes. Right.
And that to me, it's like the first time it was done, it was people just cheered
right.
by the Constitution of the United States. Because that I'm tearing up now thinking about it because it was just so powerful.
And it was for us, it was not that it felt like we were getting remarried, but it was really emotional for us too. Because again, we got married 8 years ago in Canada, and I can't tell you how many texts and phone calls we got. Were okay? Do you all have to get remarried? In Texas, like, no, we don't have to,
nope.
But it is refreshing now to know, okay, we count now.
That's right.
We do count now. And that was just a whole nother, you know, emotions that we really
Definitely.
Weren't expecting. But it's like, okay, we count now. You know, we've counted for the past 2 years as far as the federal government.
Right.
But now we finally count here at home.
Right.
So
and
it was very
home.
Nice. And this
and
is our home.
It makes the difference. It's like, you know, like a lot of people, I mean, that's... yeah, you. It's like, yeah, you were married and you were legally married.
We were,
but Texas, you know.
So, and the thing is, I've been kind of jokingly, but kind of seriously too, been begging Denny to move for years now. Like, let's move. And he's like, no, I want to stay home.
Out of Texas?
Out of Texas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to move to Seattle really bad, and you know, because they've been recognizing it up there.
Oh, right. Sure.
And he's like, no, it's going to come out. I don't want to leave our home. Well, you won, Danny.
We've been together for 18 years, though.
We've been together for 18 years. Yes.
Well, and that's funny because there were memes on Facebook that a lot of people were putting. There's a whole bunch of gay people out there with no more excuse.
That's true.
Because a lot that's of them were using that, like, well, I want to wait till Texas.
Exactly.
Right. Well, now you can't.
Well, you know what? In fact, Aaron and I have been seeing that. And that moment in the courtroom where all the judges were lined up in their robes in two big rows, and we're cutting up to get some photos of them, and there was a big wall of press, just tripods and cameras, and then the gallery was just packed. I mean, elbow to elbow in the aisles and everything. And we had to wait for a bit, for about 10 minutes. And one of the judges yelled out to us, Judge Bonnie Goldstein, she goes, Patty and Aaron, are you marrying today?
Oh.
And we were just like, oh, my God. Like, put pressure, on the spot.
The pressure.
And we're like, no, we had to help organize this.
Right. Well, now, you know, now for couples, if they choose to do it, you can plan it. Take your time, you know, have a wedding.
You can wait that 72 hours.
Right. Exactly,
well,
you know.
There are wedding planners that contacted me that were telling me that their business just at 9 a.m. began to quadruple.
I'm sure.
Because, you know, gay couples were calling them. But to go back, you know, like how the question you had, like that all your friends and family were texting, do you have to get married again? You know, and those are important questions.
They're very good questions.
Knows. So a group of eight national nonprofit organizations got together, and there's a website now called marriageequalityfacts.org, marriageequalityfacts, all one word, .org, and it has all the major questions that you may have when it comes to your rights and your benefits. So you can go there and check it out. And it's a really great website. I really got to filter through it. It was launched as soon as we got the decision because couldn't launch it ahead of time. But that's a great website that people can go to get the big questions answered, and they can share that. And it was really great because it's a lot of national organizations came together.
That's awesome.
And
Marriage said, Equality Facts.
Yeah, marriageequalityfacts.org.
So okay.
I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you.
Because, like, what if you didn't know?
Right.
And now you're looking, and that has happened where some people did go and get another marriage license on, which is okay. You know, there's nothing against, you know, collecting them, but we wouldn't recommend it.
Well,
I wouldn't recommend it. However, because you only need to get married once.
You only need to do it once.
To be legal, and it's recognized. So it doesn't matter now. Wherever you got married, whether it was Canada or in Mexico or one of the marriage equality states before the decision, you're married.
You're married.
Yeah. And I think that's one reason that so much attention has been paid to so many couples in Texas. We had only a very few counties active in Texas, and Texas was one of the 13 states that was not actively marrying anybody because everybody else had either marriage through state processes or through
court
rulings.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all eyes on Texas and the South. And
Well, I think we were the last most populated state.
I was absolutely.
Of the final 13. So, and now I don't have to go to Choctaw to get married. You know, I don't have to go to Oklahoma.
Right. We need to take a break. We'll be right back
on
Lambda.
This is Liz from UT Arlington, and I listen to Lambda Weekly podcasts at lambdaweekly.com.
Welcome back to Lambda Weekly. We are talking today with Omar Narvaez. He is with Lambda Legal. Lambda Legal has kind of been for years now synonymous with marriage equality, but that's not all you all do.
No.
And even, you know, we're elated to have marriage equality now under the law. The fight has it's not over. It's not over by a long shot. So can you talk a little bit about what other areas that Lambda Legal does and what are some of our other challenges?
Absolutely, yeah. Marriage is a step, and it's a big step, but we're not done. We're working right now out of Texas. We're working on a prisoner's rights case on behalf of a African-American transgender woman who has been housed for nearly 13 years in the state penitentiary with the men. She has been repeatedly sexually assaulted, physically assaulted. She's misgendered. She's not called by her name that she goes by. And we took that case about a year ago, and we launched a huge statewide campaign for petitions to call on Governor Abbott to implement PREA. Well, it started with Governor Perry, but
right.
switched over.
Perry just said no.
Right. Perry just said absolutely not. And now with Governor Abbott, we started the petition, and we collected almost 10,000 signatures, and we delivered them to Governor Abbott. It's been about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and a week later, Governor Abbott sent a letter to the Department of Justice saying that Texas would begin to start processes to comply with PREA, which is the Prison Rape Elimination Act. So that's one victory. So prisoner rights, and of course there's intersectionalities in there because there's race, there's her economic status. She's also transgender. So we do a lot of trans rights work, a lot of trans rights work across the country, and we're doing a lot of employment law work right now across the country, because that really is probably the next huge step for us, because right now it's out there, married on Sunday, fired on Monday.
Right.
Because that might be when you come out to your employer,
exactly.
or your employer figures out that you are part of the community. And so we've got a lot to work on. It's we're far from over.
Texas is one of, 21, 22 states that still does not have LGBT protections for employment.
Right,
right.
You can still legally be fired for being gay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they know now, but I know when I used to tell my straight friends that, they were just like, really?
And, yeah. and like something like over 70% of the country believes it already exists.
They believe it already exists.
For sexual orientation and gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that is so scary to me is that under this president, there have been so many advances for the LGBT community in so many ways, but we only have one law, or two laws, really. We have the Hate Crimes Act that was passed soon after he came into office, mm-hmm. and then the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which isn't even protections. It's
right.
repeal of
and
punishment.
Repeal of right. a section. Of DOMA.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
By the Supreme Court. President's been able to do with the Congress has been very little. Those two things that affect our community.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything else, all of the things, being able to get a passport for a trans person, all of those things are by executive order and regulation.
Right.
And
right.
so if the next president who's going to come into office in 2017, January 2017, could nix all of these.
Right.
If all you just listed orders. Them in 10-point font in bullets down a page, it would be a couple of pages front and back.
Yeah.
And all that would go away.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
All of that. And so we have to secure those things in law.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right, 'cause right now, it's an executive order that now because of marriage, if you're married, a hospital couldn't turn your spouse away from visiting
right.
you. But through executive order, all people are allowed to decide who is their family. But that could change,
that
is an executive order. So healthcare laws, we still, we need fairness in healthcare, especially for people who are transgender and for people who are HIV positive. We have a lot of work to do with HIV. I call it decriminalization, because there's a lot of criminalization laws out there for people who are HIV positive. We just won a case in the last couple of years on behalf of a man named Mr. Rhodes in Iowa, where their criminalization laws, he had consensual sex with a partner, and the next morning the partner went to brunch with some friends and they were giggling about their conquest from the night before,
right.
and he mentioned that he had a one-night stand with Mr. Rhodes, and they all freaked out, the friends, and were like, well, didn't you know he's HIV positive? And the sex was consensual. There was a condom used. There was no transmission of mm-hmm. HIV, but that's that criminalization law got Mr. Rhodes 25 years in the penitentiary.
Wow.
25 years.
Wow.
So we took his appeal, And we were able to get that appeal reversed by the Iowa Supreme Court. And Iowa, believe it or not, Iowa is the first state to change its HIV criminalization laws. So not haven't changed it the way we would have liked, but the way the community there was happy with. Now they will take into account if the person is on treatment, are they undetectable, if there was no transmission of HIV. Now they will take all of that into consideration. But still, that creates a stigma for people right. who are HIV positive. And also, it takes any onus off of the person who isn't HIV positive or just doesn't know, because they're, you know, it's you know, it takes at least two, you know, to tango. So if you're not asking those questions, you know, well, why is it just the one person's issue to have to say? So I mean, that's why I said healthcare, we've got a long ways to go. Mm-hmm. Workplace, definitely.
Workplace has so many issues. We don't even have enough time to
right.
talk about.
You know, immediately, one of my coworkers in the office was. She's very gay friendly, very supportive, and I remember she sent me a pause. She goes, "Well, how does this affect you and Danny?" Because she knew that we were already married. I said, "Absolutely." She goes, "How so?" And I just started listing things. I go, "For starters, if Danny were to go, or one of us were to go to the hospital, I can go see him now."
Right.
I go,
"You can make decisions for him.
I can
now.
Make decisions mm-hmm. for him."
And you won't die intestate.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
You know, there will be, you know, survivorship that comes with mm-hmm. being a spouse,
right?
Of your home and your property.
Probate courts,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Right,
I go, another one was insurance. I go, you know, my partner works for the school district. He can't put me on his insurance. I have him and our daughter on my insurance
right.
only because I work for a company that's not based in Texas. It's based in California. I go, now I would think, I'm sure there's going to be some legal challenges for that also.
Oh, yeah.
But at least now I can go get a job anywhere in Texas, and they can't tell me, no, I can't put somebody on my insurance because I am legally married.
Right.
That's a huge one. That's
right.
a huge one.
And then those rules usually for healthcare, it just says spouse.
It just says spouse.
And,
absolutely.
And you are a spouse.
I
it doesn't
am a spouse.
Say same or
right.
opposite gendered spouse.
It says spouse.
It says spouse. Right. The other thing I was going to tell you about that, you know, we've got to continue to work on is obviously our youth. Our youth still need, you know, we have a huge number of homeless youth out there.
Mm-hmm.
Over 40% of youth that are in the foster care system, they identify as LGBTQ, which means that families are not 100% there. I mean, if 40%, and of that, over 70% are of color, the youth. So we've got a long ways to go there. But the big issue that we're starting to do work on here in Dallas, and we just had our first summit.
Our aging community.
Is our aging community. We have got to get ready for it. This
because we're talking about us. I don't know about Laurent, but we're
right.
talking about us.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I started working on this issue at the national level for Lambda about in the last year. I was given seniors as my work area, as one of my issue areas to be a specialist in. And I didn't really know a lot about it, but as I started learning more and more, I started looking at it. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm really not that far away from, in 15 to 20 years,
right.
I am part of the
right.
senior aged, you know, retired community.
Mm-hmm.
And what we don't realize is not just within our community, but as a nation, we have what the nation is calling, you know, a silver tsunami, where all of these folks are about to retire. And we're just a few years away from it. But in the LGBT community, we're calling it the silver glitter tsunami.
Oh, I like that.
Because, you know, our seniors are fabulous. So,
of course.
but the issues that are facing is, where are they going to stay?
Right.
Do they have to go back into the closet when they go into some of these facilities? Is there treatment for them? Where, you know, we have a lot of issues, and we do have a few, very few housing places for seniors across the country, but not a single one of them offers medical care.
Wow.
So they're really more like resorts. So it's, you know, meaning they don't really have people there to care for you. They're just... It's a senior community where they're still, you know, they're able to do things and have, but that's not, we need this next level. So thanks to my really great friend, Cannon Flowers, he got the conversation started here in Texas. He got to go to D.C. and he's, you know, welcomed us to be, you know, help whatever, you know, we don't have the answers. We're starting. So anybody who's interested should, you know, get on board because, you will be a senior one day.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. If you're lucky, you're going to live that long.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem to have. Unfortunately, we've lost a lot of our brothers and sisters,
right.
Especially from the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everybody needs to be paying attention
to that.
Well,
and that's the thing is, you know, you mentioned, you know, when we had our HIV crisis where people were dying, now they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing is, like, also going into senior treatment centers or senior centers is these places have to be prepared for a senior community that also is living with HIV.
That's right.
And that's a big case that we had in Arkansas a few years back where a senior was in an assisted living facility and everybody was okay. He disclosed his HIV status because it was a facility that treats people with medical issues as well. And on his first night after he moved in, one of the directors noticed his HIV status on his form, put him outside. In the rain and in the cold, called his daughter up. This is in North Little Rock. Called his daughter up and said, "You need to come pick up your father. He can't stay here based on his HIV status."
That's insane.
And they couldn't understand why because this had all been vetted beforehand. And she told them, "I can't, you know, I don't have anywhere for him to go. My house doesn't have the medically necessary beds and things he needs. And I don't even have a place to store his stuff and don't have time to pack him tonight." And the response was, "Oh, his stuff can stay here in his room. He just can't."
Oh, my gosh.
And so those are the kind of cases that Lambda Legal has to take.
That's disgusting.
Now, that we don't realize are happening.
That case, or an incident like that, that's not even a sexual orientation issue. I thought that was something that would be protected under the federal law.
Right. But we still, you know.
You still have to fight it.
You have to fight it.
Wow, that is.
What if he didn't, his daughter and he were not able to.
Right.
And for them, it took them almost, I believe, almost a year and a half before they actually found Lambda Legal. All the other organizations they had called to try to get help would just
wow.
like, this
they didn't
is not,
want to touch
we can't
it.
Handle it, we don't touch it, this is too big, you know, we just
wow.
can't do it. And they couldn't afford a lawyer. You know, and all the work we do at Lambda Legal is we're a nonprofit, and we've been in the courts making mm-hmm. the case for equality for 42 years. And so when we do take on a case, now we don't do direct services, we do impact litigation, which is a practice of the law. Legal cases that are going to change for the huge change for the community, like Obergefell, the marriage equality
right.
case, change the nation, right?
Right.
That's the kind of cases we do, not just on the national level. We do local level, but it's got to have impact on the community. But so for people that need... You know, if you're just looking for a lawyer, you know, like, I just want a lawyer that's going to treat me with dignity and respect. I know I have to pay, you know, because we don't do criminal law, you know, things
right.
like that. But LGBT people need the
absolutely
law attorneys. You can call our office. The number is 214-219-8585. It's 214-219-8585 and ask for our legal help desk. It is free of charge. If you have questions, we have our legal help desk. Specialists that will answer your questions, give you resources, and
I was gonna say, cause even if you all aren't able to take on the case yourself, you can direct them maybe in the right
yes,
direction.
Yes, we will direct you to the right direction. We will give you resources. We have literature. We have so much information, and it's all free. And that's what I always make sure people know, that it
that's
is
awesome.
All given to you for free. And we'll continue to do it that way. It's just important that people know that it's out there for them.
You know, going back to the insurance issue, I wondered, and you all can chime in on this also, now that we do have nationwide marriage, will companies be getting rid of, or should they get rid of, their domestic partnership benefits and just leave it straight
should.
Marriage?
Yeah, I don't think they should, because, you know, there's a lot of couple, Oprah and Stedman, you know.
Right.
Omar and Jesse. You know, we benefit off of having domestic partner benefits,
mm-hmm.
But
families of all kinds.
We're all different, right?
Right.
And it shouldn't just be for those that are married. So I'm hoping that they don't. I know the federal government did. They changed when they used to offer the domestic partner. And then when
they started recognizing, right.
2 years ago, they changed the policies to be for spouses.
For spouses only. And that's what made me think of that. So
it could happen. So hopefully it won't, because mm-hmm. because domestic partner benefits also, you know, protects opposite gendered partnerships.
Oh, yeah. I have friends who tap those when they have you know, from their employer.
Right. And it's, or let's say a daughter living with a parent, mm-hmm. or, you know, it doesn't. You should be allowed to cover at least one person of your choice, I think. So,
and that's what I think a lot of the communities are going to, and employers, you know, like in Travis County, where you can add plus one, or or Dallas County,
right?
It's just a plus one.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's awesome.
We are out of time.
I know,
we are.
It's so much to talk about.
Thank you so much, Omar. Come back.
Absolutely.
Please come back. Okay, yeah. We go
hopefully
on another
with more
hour.
Celebrations.
Yeah. Right, right, exactly. And one more time, what's that that website?
MarriageEqualityFacts.org.
All right. That's a great website to go check out to answer a lot of your questions. Thank you. Thanks again, Omar, so much. And
thank you.
Thank
congratulations
you
to all the nuptials that took place this weekend.
Yes, yes, and the ones congrats. Coming. And just a quick thing, if you want to get married tomorrow in Dallas County, Judge Denise Garcia in the 303rd Court in the George Allen Building is available all day. She took vacation. Yep. She has no docket. You
and,
can go.
Oh, and Justice awesome. Of the Peace Sarah Martinez out in Precinct 5, District 1. She's also openly gay and said that she would keep her offices open until 7:30 p.m. all week this week. So
and
get married.
And the criminal courts in Frank Crowley.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
No jury trials the whole week. So they're
they,
all
wow,
there
available.
And available.
And they're all dying to
please come.
Couples. So.
All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks again.